At the NAFB Washington Watch, I am visiting with John Doggett with National Corn Growers Association. And John, we're here at an interesting time this week. Farm bill is something that is going to be a big topic of discussion as we look at the markups of the proposed House and Senate versions of their bill. When we look at that, first of all, what are some of the things that are priority for corn growers that you see being dealt with here this week?
Well, first of all, you know, we absolutely want to get a farm bill done this year. We want to see a program that's market-based. We want to see a program that addresses some of the holes in the risk management tools kit that growers have available. So we're looking at a market-based revenue program that only kicks in when absolutely necessary. So, you know, those are kind of that's the main point that we're looking for. And then, again, to just address some of the important things to us, like crop insurance. Crop insurance is our growers' number one risk management tool.
Speaking of that, it's my understanding that you have, I don't know, you call it a compromise in terms of how crop insurance would be dealt with here. Can you explain where we're at and what are some of the proposals that NCGA is involved in on that?
Well, last year, the Senate agreed to an amendment that was offered by Senator Saxby Chambliss from Georgia, and that required all participants in the federal crop insurance program to be in compliance with conservation requirements and that are already there for Title I. We opposed that and wanted to see that stripped. We didn't have the votes a year ago. We have even fewer votes to strip that this year. So, faced with the inevitability of a situation that was completely unworkable, what we did was, with the American Farm Bureau, with the National Farmers Union, a number of the other commodity organizations, we started talking to some of the conservation groups who also had concerns about this, and because these rules would be so onerous that they were going to see a mass exodus from the crop insurance program. They want to continue to see growers involved in the crop insurance program, as do we. So we worked out some common sense language that makes this a very workable program for growers, offers them plenty of opportunity that if they inadvertently get out of compliance, they can quickly get back into compliance. They have plenty of appeals process. They're not going to lose their crop insurance. They may lose their subsidy if they don't get back into compliance, but they're not going to lose their crop insurance. In return, we have from the conservation community an assurance that they will be with us to protect the funding for crop insurance, to make sure that we don't lose in an amendment on the Senate floor some major part of that crop insurance program. And then lastly, the conservation community is going to be with us as far as means testing on crop insurance, something that we are inalterably opposed to. They'll be with us on those amendments.
Well, you said it, that crop insurance essentially looks like it'll become the primary safety net for farmers. So this is a very important issue. Let's turn to another one right now. I don't know what might be in the farm bill on it in terms of renewable energy, but our renewable fuel standard has very much been under attack, more so lately than I've ever seen. How do you characterize where we're at right now with that, and what you see kind of looking ahead here?
Well, you know, certainly we've seen a lot of attacks on the renewable fuel standard. A lot of it has been a campaign of misinformation. We've been pushing back on that. You know, this is a vital importance to the corn industry, vital to rural communities in the Midwest. This is a government policy that's taken plywood off the storefronts in middle America. That's pretty important. So, you know, I questioned a group of a couple hundred growers a year ago, asking them how many of you had a kid come back to the farm in the last 5 years that would not be there if it wasn't for the renewable fuel standard. 25% of that group stood up. I tell you what, that's a pretty powerful statement.
Absolutely, no question about it. Speaking of out in rural America, we've had some interesting weather already this spring that's delayed some planting. What do you see right now in terms of what that's meant to the corn crop getting in the ground this year?
Well, you know, we're going to have to see what the next 10 days are going to be pretty important. We had some growers a year ago who said that they had never planted a corn crop that early. We have this year some growers who are saying they've never gotten into the field this late. And in some cases, they're the same growers. So, you know, certainly Mother Nature has dictated a lot of things to us last year and again this year. But, you know, one of the things that we know is that the grower planting capacity is very much enhanced. Growers are buying much bigger planters and in some cases not trading in the old planter. We're talking a lot of growers can get that crop into the ground in a week. And that's something that's a significant change from what we've seen even at just not that many years ago.
Well, I think shows the need and value in some of the seed companies, some of the work they're doing to develop varieties that can handle weather conditions that are very variable from last year, very dry to, well, we don't know this year, but it's been a whole lot wetter in a lot of those regions already. So we'll hope and see how it goes out in the Corn Belt as we go through another season here. Anything else that's top of mind right now going on here in D.C. for corn growers?
Well, you know, we are concerned about the action taken at USDA last week requiring an EIS for several corn traits and soybean traits that have been in the approval process for a very, very long time. This decision is going to put that approval off at least a year and a half. We think that's a real shame. Those products are needed in corn country and soybean country. You know, we know that technology brings good things to agriculture and good things to America. We're disappointed at that, and certainly we wish it hadn't happened. Hope it doesn't happen again.
Was this through APHIS with the tolerant traits?
The Enlist trait for corn, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting to see things that are going on here in Washington, D.C. now, right?
Well, it's a crazy town, you know, and I think we find half the time we're upset that things move so fast and half the time we're upset because things move so slow. So I guess we spend a lot of time being upset.
Well, it's just the nature of the beast, I guess you might say. Thank you very much, John Doggett, Vice President of Public Policy for the National Corn Growers Association. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.